right, and with those comments, we are going to wrap up this show. Many thanks again to my guests, Neil Nasser, here in the studio with me, and Hussein Jaffer on Skype for their contributions. Gaza under attack. We'll be back with more. Until then, continue to keep Palestine in your thoughts. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Ladies' Favorite Program, Muslim Lady. Well, once more, I'm here as your host. I'm Asma, at your service. And today, we have Brother Mustafa with us as the guest. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Mustafa, and I'm also a student here. I am researching psychology and Islamic studies here.
So that's very great. Thank you for being here. As the ritual of this program goes, we usually have another lady to help us, but this time now it's just like looking from the other side of the story.
Yeah.
Because it's always us talking about us. Now let's another...
I think we're all human beings, right?
Exactly.
And if you had a lady speaking about men, I don't think anyone would really even object to that.
Exactly.
Right? And of course, when we're studying psychology, you know, this is a big topic, you know, our role as what roles we play as fathers, as mothers, as genders. So it's definitely a good topic to speak about.
Exactly. Yeah. So as a person who has studied psychology and knows already about all of those stuff, then you are qualified enough.
Definitely. I have some ideas that I hope I can share today with you guys.
Inshallah. Yes, of course. So let's just start it with this very basic question. As you know, women has got a really big role nowadays in society. They are not just a simple lady like the angel in the house doing all the chores and taking care of the children or whatsoever. They are right now doctors. They are engineers. They do great stuff. They are sharing some social responsibilities. They go to work. And at the same time, they are doing their responsibilities at home.
Right.
But what we see right now, aside from the number of the children in each house, is the fact that the responsibilities of a mother is starting to get weaker and weaker just as we go further in this modern life.
Yeah. So a big part of, you know, our current modern lifestyle is actually rooted in psychology, right?
Yeah.
And you've pointed to the fact that you're seeing, for example, mothers becoming weaker and weaker, or they're not able to, for example, play that role to the same extent. Before I really like jump into the topic, I think it's important to understand that there is a difference between sort of Islamic psychology and like modern psychology, right?
Yeah, and Western psychology.
Right. So, and even within Western psychology, what I think a lot of people don't realize is that it's a new field of study. It's only maybe about 100 to 130 years old.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? And within that, there are so many different points of views, right? That it's just almost like a religion, I would say, in the sense that there's different sects, there's different schools of thought, and how they view a human being. And how we view a human being has a huge impact on how we sort of behave in our day-to-day lives, right? Let me try to make that a little bit more easier to understand, in the sense that, for example, if you don't believe that you have a soul, right, which modern psychology doesn't believe, right?
Yeah.
Modern psychology, then you're
we
only...
We have a psyche and that's it.
Yeah, then you're only going to be viewing the human being just as a physical person, right? And you're only going to be seeing, for example, a woman as just as a physical being or as a man as a physical being. And that completely changes, for example, the dynamics between how we interact and we behave, doesn't it?
Yeah,
whereas Islamic psychology says, hey, no, like we actually have a soul, we have divine guidance. Not everything is based just on experiments and, you know, on just like lab work.
Not everything could be answered by science.
Right, exactly. So one of the, I think, problems we're seeing is that the role of the mother has sort of been almost like undermined, I would say.
Yeah.
Like the real role of a mother. For example, I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and he lives in the West, right? He's not a Muslim. And he was debating with me. He was saying that, you know, we don't really need even mothers in the sense to raise children, right? That's the extent to what I would say Western psychology has reached to, right?
So there comes a question that if then we don't need a mother, then who's going to take care of those children? Who's going to nurture them? But then answer me after the break.
Okay.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So that's devastating to think of a home without a mother. So you're listening to Muslim Lady. And we're talking about the role of mothers and their responsibility that is getting weaker and weaker in this modern, hasty life. But then you said something which was so shocking, I suppose. Who would on earth think that there's no need for a mother?
So that sounds pretty extreme to you, right? And I think most people understand that. But I bring that up to sort of show you that there's no substitute for the mother.
Exactly. Right?
There's no substitute for it. Whereas in our lives today, I feel that a lot of mothers have started substituting their own role of the mother for something else. Right? You mentioned like they're doctors and they're engineers or they're something else. And I think that's excellent and they should do all of those things.
Yeah.
But from an Islamic psychology point of view, we would say that it shouldn't come at the expense of, for example, your family life.
Exactly.
It shouldn't come at the expense of like you not being able to raise your children well.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, you know, that you're sacrificing that role. So you see that it's extreme to see completely taking out the mother out of the picture. I'm seeing we're already doing that in our lives. We're taking the role of the mother out of the picture a little bit. You see how we're doing that practically?
You see, I know a lot of these women who are working and who are at the same time mothers and they're studying. And they're, as I just told you, they're sharing some very important roles in society. But I don't say that they themselves are consciously doing that. But the thing is that they're going to go through too much of burdens. They do that. I mean, they would take care of their children. They would take care of their family. And they would at the same time study and do their jobs. But the thing is that they are going to go through too much of problems and burdens. And she would feel maybe to some extent, she would feel depressed because she feels like the entire burden of the world is on her shoulder.
Well, we're saying that, you know, as long as you're not sacrificing your role, then it's okay for you to do those things. And to like, I was speaking to one of our teachers and he was telling us like a case. He was telling us that, for example, he had a husband and wife that were doctors come to them about a problem that they had with their kid. You know, I think he was a teenager. And you know, this, our teacher, he said, I told him, like, you went to medical school, you learned, you become a doctor. If only you had spent maybe 10 to 20 hours learning the expertise of, for example, raising children.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that people can become doctors, engineers, but then if they're forgetting that real natural role, which no one else can substitute, you know, like TV can't substitute it, a maid can't substitute it, a nursery can't substitute that role, that's where the problem lies. And that's why we're becoming weaker. Right?
Yeah. As a woman,
I
would say, just as I just told you, the much of burden that has been put on women's shoulder has made them not to take care of their, fundamental role. The thing that is greater, as you just said, as human beings, we do not have just physical needs or this physical, we're not physical entities only. We have a soul, which is so important. So as the women that are so active in this modern life right now, they do too much of things and they are helping all the human beings. Because if she's a doctor, then she's helping other women. If she's an engineer, she's helping the entire humanity. But then the thing is that they're going through too much. And maybe some of them would come to this point to question that, okay, Do I necessarily have to be a mother? Do I necessarily have to have more children? Do I necessarily have to be the one who does all of these things at the same time?
See, this is the whole, this is what I'm saying. Modern psychology, right, has raised these questions. They've taken away the very natural things that are there. So you're talking about women in a very positive way that are doing those things. I'm saying there's some women out there who are, for example, only career-minded, right?
Yeah.
They'll feel that, for example, their career is more important, for example, than looking after their kids.
Okay. Now there comes the point where we have to go for a break, and then we'd come back. This is the last part of today's episode. Well, you were saying that some women are career-minded. That means,
well,
like,
there's nothing wrong with that either, I should add. But let me give you another example where it can cause issues if the person isn't careful, right? So there was another case of a mother that came with a problem with her teenage son. To not go into too many details, but to come to like the core of the problem of the issue was that because of her job, she would leave her son alone at home for several hours a day.
Okay? It happens a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't understand a teenage son, a teenage boy, what they're going, even a girl, what they're going through, you know, in those years, and you're leaving them alone, you could be causing serious harm to your child.
Just and by to leaving the society in a general scale, yes. Because so they're going to grow up.
And, you know, in this case, the mother was actually, I think, a school principal or something, you know. So she was working at a school. You're right. They were helping someone. They were being good people, you know, but at the expense of their own son's
future,
and their own son's psychology, their own son's mental health. So that's why I'm saying we're making the mistake. You know, we're causing more problems for ourselves in the future. We need to come back a little bit and see what we're doing. Right?
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, there's a thing. Women have got an identity for themselves as well. So a woman, a lady, would love to flourish herself, would love to go for education, for a job, for having an active role in society. So she cannot forget about all of those things.
She shouldn't. And we're saying that all of, like, today, modern lifestyle is much, much harder than, let's say, you know, what our moms went through, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's much more demanding on people. A lot of people are in a financial position where they must work, you know, where they can't survive without doing that. But with all of this, then you have to understand there's always a cost to pay, right?
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, an example, there was a cost to pay there. Well, what should that person do in that situation? Then they should, for example, they shouldn't, like, let's say you arranged your child to be with your uncle or aunt during those hours, right? We're saying you have to find practical solutions to these problems. You can't just like say, hey, I must go look after society and then just, you know, just forget about what's going on now. Right? If you're not going to be doing that, then you're not, in my opinion, you shouldn't be then out there in society.
Exactly. So if I just want to give the gist of whatever we've been through today, I would say that the thing that you mentioned at the very beginning of today's discussion is so important. I think that is the thing that is causing all these problems, which is to underestimate the role of a mother. Like, for example, I would prefer to have a mother who's a housewife than a mother who's a doctor and is spending all of her time outside home and not taking care of me and not devoting any time for me. But then that housewife mom is going to spend all of her time with me. She's going to be devoted to me. And the mere thought of that would make me think that I'm so important that I could be this person who in the future, as she grows up or as he grows up, would have a perfect mental health, I suppose. So we should not actually underestimate the role of a mother and give more value to other jobs or other stuff, like women who are doing jobs outside the home are more important than the women who are not doing any job and they're only mothers or housewives or things like that. Because just I read it somewhere that someone asked a person, what's your mother's job? And then he said, she's an artist. That was very nice, because then he gave an example, because he was asked, okay, what sort of art your mom creates? Then he said, our home is my mother's artwork. So that was an interesting answer. I have never looked at it like that. Really, the mothers who spend all of their time for their children are the ones who are the greatest artists of the world, because they're going to create the next generation. They're going to create the people who are going to share important roles in the coming societies. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of The Keys of Life. Well, I am Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be at your service, and I'm very happy to be here. Well, as the usual format of this program, we are going to go through the very famous book, which is the twin for Mafatih al-Jinan, that is called Mafatih al-Hayat, which is literally translated to the Keys of Life. Well, I study English literature and I'm not a scholar, so I did not claim to be someone who's teaching you anything. I'm just going to narrate what I have read from this book and the very gist and the main ideas about the important narrations that has been mentioned in this book. So I hope together we're going to have an amazing session to know some new narrations that are going to be fruitful to be used in our everyday life. Well, as in one of the chapters of this book, we go through working and not staying idle. It's very nice that in this book, the very delicate issues of life are considered. Now, to know that in our religion, there is a great focus on job and not staying idle is very amazing. Because, you know, we have an English proverb that says an ideal mind is the devil's workplace. So the same idea, we have it in here as well. There has been many narrations, like for people to go for working and not staying idle. Many narrations from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam tell us that staying idle is going to lead to a person, to a kind of person who's not productive in their life. They're not going to be active in their life, and at the same time, they're not going to have any benefit for themselves or for people around them. So, for your life, you have never been recommended to stay idle, doing nothing, and waiting for things to happen by themselves. No, on the contrary, we have been recommended to go for too much of effort for everyday life in order to get of course, enough of productivity to gain money, to be the person that is having a lot of things done in their life and have a lot of achievements. So one point is that for living a perfect life, we're in need of money. There is no one who could claim that money is a bad thing. Money could help you improve in your life and be actually helpful for other people as well. Because if you have enough of money and enough of income, then you can help the poor people. Then you're going to be a person who is playing an active role in their society and paying attention to the things that are happening around them. So there is one thing which is intermingled and interrelated to the concept of working. That is actually not being lazy. You know, every time we talk about work, simultaneously, there comes the matter of laziness. Many people do not go for working just because they'd like to stay in their easy zone, in their comfort zone without doing anything. Well, now we know that working has got so much of difficulties, but at the very same time, through this working, you're going to achieve a lot of your potentials. So in our religion, we have a lot of recommendations about being an early bird. For example, the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says to wake up in the very, very morning means that you're going to get all the blessings from Allah, because in that time, the time of dawn is exactly the time where all the blessings of the world is going to be distributed to the inhabitant of the earth. So as we can see, it's not just the Prophet, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, entirely talk about this fact that you should be an early bird and try to get away from laziness and start your things from the very morning. Also, we have it from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Every single one of them tells us about being an early bird. Well, I know that in common ordinary life, we have some lazy birds as well, because, you know, it's not an easy task to be an early bird, because the life is filled with too much of business. We have too much of things to do. Sometimes the pressure that we have been through the previous day does not let us to have a special plan for every morning. So there is this common thing that we see it right now among many people. They stay awake all the night and then the morning they sleep, which is pretty much condemned in our religion. We should not actually skip the daytime, the morning, which is the very, very productive, fruitful time of each day. So we also have it from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. He says that anyone who goes for achieving money, for bringing out an income for their family, is going to have a lot of a blessing from Allah. And the one who's going to bless them is Allah himself. So everyone who's interested in gaining too much of money, who's interested to gain more of blessings, they could go for this recommendation and wake up in the very early morning.
آیت الله جوادی آملیدی, author of the book مفاتیح الحیات, The Keys of Life.
این مفاتیح باید دو جلد باشه, چندین سال این حرف گفته میشه.
This book مفاتیح ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است, چه فرون دماغ و سواب داره فرون روزوان است.
One volume, the present volume, Mafatih al-Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرون درختکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره, دعا هم داره, ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته برام گفته دی. اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره, همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment.
وقتی میخوای کشاورزی کنی یه قدر گندم بگیر رو به قبله بیست این دعا رو بخون. اینم هم امام گفته دیگه.
When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned.
تو نظام اسلامی این جلد دوم جاش خالی.
We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Also, we have it from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says, you have to be very much attentive in the thing that you do. Be very serious and have a special plan for your daytime. So when it's the praying time in the morning, wake up. And then after that, go for gaining your money for the job that you have. And then have the intention in your mind that I'm going to achieve the income and the money for my family. In this way, God is going to bless you with too much of fruits and rewards, of course. So when we say fruits, it's actually metaphorically, because it's not just the money that you bring to your home. It's going to help your health as well. It's going to be giving you the feeling that, okay, I'm a productive person. I'm not so useless. I am not idle. And I am doing something important in my life, which is doing a job, being productive in life, and at the same time, caring for my family. Even if you're not married, you know, if you are a member of a family and then you are trying to offer your help for your family, that's also considered as an important job for the individual. So to give you the gist, as we all know, going for something productive in this life is a very important thing. Maybe one of the most important missions of life was staying away from being idle. So technically, we have to think which job we would love to do and then go for it and then try to gain an income from that in order to be helpful for ourselves, for our family, and for our neighbors, for every single one who is actually interacting with us and is considered in our circle. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell and leave you to Allah's never sleeping eyes. So, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Yani
Bazaar
The construction industry has continuously had a series of revolutions throughout history. Technological advancements have influenced the construction sector too, from durable concrete in ancient structures to smart windows that automatically open and close based on light exposure. Some materials evolved with time, others are new to the industry and address natural disasters while reflecting changing lifestyles and environmental values. Still, other materials are born out of a need to reduce construction costs. In a nutshell, structures and their materials are the building blocks of society and economic expansion.
Hello everyone, Ali Reza here, welcoming you to a brand new edition of Bazaar. This week, we are taking you on a journey through Iran's mammoth building construction industry while highlighting some of the country's recent developments in this sector. Plus, we will check out its market as a whole and the construction industry's contributions to the national economy. So, let's get started.
Hello.
To understand the enormity of the construction industry, we visited the 22nd Annual International Building and Construction Exhibition in Tehran. Because the exhibition was sprawled over nearly 4 hectares of land, one day is not nearly enough for visitors to see the entire expo, so it ran for 3 days. This exhibition is one of the most important events in its industry. We caught up with a few companies at the exhibit to see what they were offering. Our first stop was at a booth held by a company that makes ceramic tiles. They also export their products to numerous countries. Next, we stopped by a company specializing in manufacturing faucets and kitchen and bathroom attachments. It also purchases most of its raw materials from inside the country. Like many we have seen at the event, this company has created many job opportunities directly and indirectly. Plus, it uses the latest machinery to make high-quality products that compete with foreign brands. Now, many might not think twice about it, but Iran's faucet and fixture production have been booming. So we spoke with another company that has been exporting these items for years.
Industry participants say this year's Building Expo was much larger than last year's, meaning that Iran's construction industry has expanded in recent years, displaying the country's various existing and emerging capabilities in the field. Statistics show that last year some 900 domestic companies participated in the event. Also, foreign companies were present offering their goods and services.
This year's exhibit hosted hundreds of foreign companies from Germany, Australia, Turkey, China, Spain, Italy, South Korea, and Malaysia, just to name a few. A wealth of products were showcased at the expo, from road and construction equipment to stones, sanitary supplies, heating and cooling systems, lifts and elevators, and so much more. Rarely has any industry offered so much versatility and variety of products as the construction industry. Events like this one offer a platform for the exchange of ideas, examining markets and opportunities for collaboration to create new products needed in the market. Next, we stopped by a display for a company specializing in making various inset kitchen products. We asked them about their goods and approach to challenges posed by the US sanctions. Walking through the exhibit, we ran into a company that makes metal fittings for stairs, windows, and areas that require spatial separations.
All things considered, the construction sector has been significant for the Iranian economy. The sector is divided into two main parts: government infrastructure projects and the housing industry. The construction industry has been thriving due to national and international investment to the extent that it is now one of the largest in the West Asia region.
This sector suffered a lot after the US withdrew from the 2015 deal and reimposed sanctions against Iran. These measures choked construction materials imports. As a result, the steady flow of things like metals to Iran was seriously hampered and eventually halted altogether. But despite the bans, this industry continues to grow and is also one of the few that exports services to other countries. Based on the Association of Iranian Exports of Technical and Engineering Services, Iran currently has the potential to export engineering services worth $40 billion annually. The country already exports these services to countries around the Caspian Sea, its bordering neighbors, South and Central America, North Africa, and South Asia. Some construction projects include sewage treatment plants, dams, and energy plants. According to the Ministry of Industry, Mining, and Trade, Iran is self-sufficient in construction material production. Steel, glass, and cement are abundantly produced in the country. Moreover, the surplus of these items is exported to countries worldwide. Government officials say they have plans to expand exports to Iran's trade partners, including China and Russia. For example, the Ministry of Industry, Mine and Trade says it plans to sell upwards of $3 billion worth of construction materials to Russia alone. As a whole, the government views the construction sector as a feasible alternative for generating foreign revenues and diversifying the country's economy away from oil profits.
All right, now it's time to check out this week's special feature of Bazaar. So let's see where Sarah has been this past week.
In an ever-increasing technology-driven world, city streets are becoming more and more congested than ever before, while connected and autonomous technologies in vehicles are also on the rise. Such safety concerns pose a significant challenge for city planners and traffic engineers to improve mobility, safety, and efficient use of roadways now and in the future. When you are driving to work, or especially going on a road trip, you need to be fully alert to avoid the hidden cameras all across the road from catching you or costing you a damage. Well, sometimes this can be really irritating, but have you ever thought of the significant impacts they have in the most challenging situations? Today, we decided to take you to a company active in the field of intelligent transportation system in Shadif University of Technology. Let's go check it out. With creating intelligent transportation systems, the research and development team of the students in Sharif University of Technology has created a smart traffic software for processing related information. These smart systems are mounted beside or over the roads to detect motoring offenses, including speeding, vehicles going through a red traffic light, vehicles going through a toll booth without paying, or for recording vehicles inside a congestion charge area. All these violations are detected 24/7 using traffic data analysis system.
We as Kanek Group started to work around 10 years ago here in Electronic Research Institute in Sharif University of Technology. Back then, our main expertise was focused on image processing and embedded systems and also IoT devices for smart cities and buildings. Our products are all knowledge-based and divide into three main categories. The first one is machine vision and embedded systems. The other part of the products are based on IoT or Internet of Things products. And the third one is the big data analysis and data mining. These products are all implemented on a secure and highly customized Linux operating system. Another line of our products are based on IoT devices, such as the smart gateways and actuators. We have exported these products to two foreign countries, and also the third line of our products are based on data mining and big data analysis. These softwares and products are mainly used in road maintenance and transportation organization and also some major municipality offices. These softwares help a lot in extracting useful patterns out of millions and billions data in traffic control centers and help managers and also managers and experts in traffic control sensors to extract practical and beneficial data from these smart cameras or sensors throughout the city.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this intelligent software was created for the smart camera system. When it comes to cameras, we have various kinds of traffic enforcement cameras, such as speed violation detection camera, red light camera, road safety camera, and so many more for plate detection. But that's not all. This company also creates IoT devices or Internet of Things. These are intelligent gateway camera systems for buildings and image processing with the aim of providing a better living environment for people and reducing energy consumption. All right, now it's time to take a closer look at the smart camera system and see how it works.
There are thousands of smart camera systems all across the country that actually function with the software created in this company. Now, let's take a look at one of the smart camera systems created in this company. Well, just like human, this smart system is created and is made of eyes. And if we delve inside, it's also made of a powerful brain. Well, the eye of this system is the industrial camera, which is created in different versions depending on the geographic location of the camera. For example, the one we have here has been created with a hardware design that protects against a heat wave. Anyway, this camera captures the images from the front side of this smart system and sends these images to the processing board, which functions as the brain part of this smart system. And finally, the data is transmitted from the intelligent software of the smart system to the traffic control centers all across the city.
The Connect Group was founded in some 8 years ago, I think. And the main focus of the group was on smart cutting-edge smart technologies, for example, in machine vision, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data analytics, Internet of Things, and stuff like that. Later on, we used these technologies in more specific areas, for example, in intelligent transportation systems and various aspects of smart cities, like smart buildings, smart automation. And we have other countries around us that they are interested in some of our products. Our main goal for the future is to actually connect all the intelligent aspects of the city together. For example, if you have something smart in the in a villa or in an apartment, we connect it to the road, we connect it to the work office, and all these things all together to for one brain actually to decide for the optimization and improvement of several aspects of the these systems.
Employing the latest smart technologies as well as artificial intelligence, this company focuses on smart city and smart buildings, and ultimately it aims at city management without human involvement. Presently, their products are available in almost 17 provinces in Iran. Traffic technologies continue to evolve and scale into solutions in mega cities. Finally, this paves the way to optimizing traffic flow and improving efficiency and safety on the roads. Well, there is no way to violate the traffic rules. The latest technologies in the modern world today, including the smart camera system, can detect and improve the wrong behaviors of drivers in the society. And by the end of the day, they can create a smarter, safer, and more sustainable transportation ecosystem. I've been Sarah Dema, and I'll see you next time.
We are getting close to the end of the program, but before we go, let's check out some news and trends in the construction industry and beyond. Iran is known for its creative experts in the field of engineering, so it is no surprise that last year the country exported technical and engineering services valued at nearly $2 billion. That's based on Iran's Trade Promotion Organization. These services were sent to countries in Southeast Asia, North Africa, and neighboring regions. For example, 57 major infrastructural projects were carried out by dozens of Iranian companies in Iraq alone. Furthermore, the organization says with more planning and resources, the country can quickly increase exports of technical and engineering services to $20 million annually. In the last 15 years, Iran has taken on some 900 construction projects in 21 countries worth $32 billion. Unconventional use of construction material. An Iranian architect has transformed a widely used construction material into a unique form of window. It is a type of spectacled brick that is a solid block with a circular aperture at its core which filters in the light. The architect says the high density of buildings and city regulations in Tehran has limited sunlight exposure in office and commercial buildings. The developer explains the special brick in this project allows sunlight penetration even in parts of the building where windows are not permitted by city codes. Additionally, these unique windows can be adjusted to closed or open positions to optimize daylight exposure. The advantage of this brick is that it can absorb less air pollution and help
filter out the noise from the motorways. Increasing market reach. And let's conclude with Iran's efforts to expand its market reach and trade of goods with its neighbors. The country is organizing 6 exhibitions in the Qatari capital, Doha, that will be held during this year's FIFA World Cup event. 5 exhibitions will introduce Iranian handcrafts, such as hand-woven carpets, home decorations, and much more. Additionally, 1 will be held for construction materials and technical engineering services. This is significant for increasing bilateral relations and trade between the two nations. Government officials also say a direct shipping line has been launched between Iran and Qatar to help with the transportation and distribution of goods. That wraps up our program for today. Also, if you have a topic that you're interested in, you can send us your thoughts and suggestions via email. We always enjoy hearing from you. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for tuning in and take care. And bye-bye.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Khushvaqt. Please stay tuned.
سجاد صلوات الله السلام علیه اشاره کردن به این حقوق کم از افرادی که حقی از حقوق رو ضایع نکرده باشند.
Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth Shiite Imam, mentions the rights that humans should regard towards Allah the Almighty, themselves and each other. He also mentions the fact that there are only a few people in each community who have not oppressed anyone's rights. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam advises us on compensating for the oppressed rights in this world rather than leaving it for the hereafter. According to Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, there is time and chance in this world for compensation, and it is, of course, much easier to return the oppressed rights in this world. Imam believes that if we do not return the rights we have wasted in this world, making them up in the hereafter will be much more difficult. There are notes by Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam in his supplication collection about regarding the rights. We can use these guidelines and advices in our life. Another issue, which is mentioned by Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, which stems from the communicative life, is envy. People become jealous about each other when live together and see what things they may lack and others have. Sometimes it happens that someone hopes others to be deprived of their blessings simply because he does not have them.
محشوری علی ظروب منو محشور کن که نتونم خلاف قانون و گناهی مرتکب بشم.
In phrases of Imam Sajjad's supplication, we read about asking God to stop us from committing sins and to put obstacles in our way. This is because we are in many occasions ready to commit sins, but things happen and stop us from doing them. So we see that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam asked God to keep him away from forbidden deeds. Imam also asked God to stop him from breaking the laws. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam here also talks about finding courage to continue committing sins. If we keep committing small sins, this will give us a false courage to commit bigger sins indeed. So one of the threats for God's servants is to insist on committing small sins and gradually become a permanent sinner. So Imam asks God to help him not to find the courage for committing sins. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam continues and asks God to give him the passion to love Allah, because this will help him to stay away from sins. If we like someone, we try our best not to do anything against him or against his will. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam eventually asks God to help him to follow the divine instructions. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Khushvaqt. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the Imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi'a al-risala.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue,
an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. He was the divinely appointed trustee. He was the divinely appointed rightful successor, and he was the divinely appointed Khalifatullah for the Muslims. We find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the only representative at the forefront of the opposition to the rule of the corrupt Abbasid caliphs. He was one of the prominent leaders of the Muslim Ummah who struggled against tyranny and oppression. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam took a brave and unwavering position against the tyrannical kings of his age. He did not associate with any of them. Rather, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam preferred to stay away from these tyrannical kings. And therefore, these kings held grudges and an enmity against Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and they inflicted him with severity and violence, ultimately leading to the martyrdom of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Parts of Ziyarah text of Jam'atul Kabira issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immat al-huda wa masabih al-tuja wa a'lam al-tuqa wa dawilluha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thought, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call, and the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's Prophet, and the progeny of Allah's Messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat al-du'at.
Peace be upon the Imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your listeners. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to